It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. How you doing, handsome? What's going on today, big boy?
I feel like I have worked 10 work days in one work day. I can't believe that I'm excited to just hang out with you for the next 2 hours.
Wow.
Just because it means I don't have to do. I've been on conference calls. I've been
Look
on
at
meetings.
You. You
I
are mean, an important person.
I'm not saying I'm important. I'm just saying today was a busy. We had two interns start today.
I was feeling good until I ran into Jason.
Yeah, what happened to him?
No, just you
or
know,
what happened there?
He's a bad influence on me. Today I had a salad for lunch. That's all I had. I was feeling good.
And then you went to Wendy's?
Then I went out to the gas station, and I had two strawberry shortcakes, a Yoo-Hoo, and a Reese's while I got him a Snickers.
But who was the Reese's supposed to be for, Arnie?
It was supposed to be for you, but I ate that too. So now I'm feeling fat again. So I'm feeling bad about that. You got your staples out today, huh?
Yes, the staples are out of my head. The scar is not that bad, and I can return to normal activities.
Are you going
to
play any basketball? Are you going to play tomorrow?
I can play some hoop.
Look at that. It's going to be a full house tomorrow. You better bring your A game, big boy.
I could bring my C game and still be better than you.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Jason, tell Brady what happened when we played yesterday.
A guy rolled his ankle real bad.
Well, besides that guy.
I missed every shot.
Yeah, a guy already got hurt. I think one of our better players, too, rolled his ankle. So, yeah.
Did you trip him?
Maybe. I didn't do it on purpose, but you know who it is? That really the Asian dude, the really good player, nice guy. You know
okay.
what I'm talking about? You know,
yes, I forget his name.
Yeah, I forget his name.
But his name's Jason.
Yeah, that's what I thought. His name was Jason. And I may have elbowed him and stepped on his foot and pushed him, but he really rolled it bad, and I felt bad about
that. That doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me. But that was what I was talking about.
Oh, when you hit a couple of threes.
Yeah, a couple threes. Couple threes, I still right off the bat, boom, boom, boom.
Arnie,
I still got it, dude.
Here's what you don't realize. Nobody guards you because they're helping on the real players.
Jason was guarding me.
Jason.
And it was to start the game off, too. Boom, boom,
Why
boom.
Why don't, you're young. Why don't you guard someone actually athletic?
Yeah.
Because I'm not any
silly.
Good.
Yeah, that was hitting the threes like it was going out of style. So.
Oh my God. You know what you do? You want the secret? This is how you guard Arnie. Number one, since he can't dribble, get close to him. Then he can't shoot simply. Two, push him left because he certainly can't dribble with his left hand. You know
but I
that.
I have a left hand.
And then put your hand up at his face. You know the saying, hand down, man down?
That's
wow.
true.
You just need to put a hand up, force him left, and he can't dribble. That's it.
That's true. He's
That's
got
the
all
secret.
He's nailed all that, and I still get my shot off.
That's the secret.
And I still get my shot off and hit the three. Big news for tomorrow. Big news. Tell everybody what's going on for tomorrow.
Rich is coming back to town.
Rich is coming. I wonder if he's changed at all. Or if he's just
the
same
old
Rich. We
saw him recently. He still likes Bud Light.
He still likes Bud Light.
Yeah.
He still
likes pasta and Mountain Dew.
Is he still shucks Andy from Mayberry and all that?
Is that mean?
No, that's not mean at all. No, that's
he brought me a bagel this morning. So.
Oh, so you saw him this morning?
Yeah, we hung out.
Okay, was it like so? He's the same old Rich like he was when he left. Then
yeah,
fame hasn't changed him.
All right, no. So yeah, you know, who knows? I could have been Connecticut Tigers 4 months of calling that, and of course he put the jinx on the Connecticut Tigers because the Vermont Lake Monsters are in the championship.
You know what's funny? You and I don't think people have realized this, that since we have been together, you and I got in last year like September 5th was my first day. Yours was like a week before that, the end of August. Since then, look at what's happened. Red Sox won the division, made the playoffs.
Yep.
Patriots won the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Vermont basketball went 19-0 in conference and made the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'll take credit for that.
The Vermont Bucks won a championship.
Yeah.
And the Lake Monsters won a division. Look at all the good things that have happened since we've been around.
Yeah, I am the good luck charm.
And the Celtics got the number one seed.
And the Celtics got the number one seed and the number one. And
a Hall of Famer.
And a top pick.
And some Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So, you know, in case you're keeping track. So, yeah, you know, I do bring good luck to the city.
Can you just acknowledge it's we? Can you just get off yourself for a second? Package deal. We have brought good luck.
No, I don't think I can. But did I not tell you that they would be in the top 25? You fought me on that for
And they
year.
Weren't, so I was right.
Yeah, but they'll be in there this year. They will be in this year. Yeah, so Rich is back tomorrow. I'm excited. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be the three of us. It'll be a three-man show, and we'll just all talk over each other, which is what I like to do anyway, Brady. Yeah.
I
know that.
You could talk over a one-person show.
I know that. I can. So I'm going to take that. I got my hockey game tonight, so I'm excited. I got to score. The tension's starting to build up in me. I'm starting to get antsy. The second game, I haven't scored yet. Didn't score the first game.
I don't think you're going to score tonight either.
Yeah, I had two assists, so I'm shooting every time I get the puck.
If Jason could guard you in that, then maybe you'd score.
Yeah, I'm not just – every time I get, just shoot.
No, because if I have a stick, that's a weapon.
Yeah, that is a weapon for him. I end up – you know, I realized I'm a little bit of a dirty player in hockey too. I love it.
Yeah.
I know I do. I do love it. I step on people's sticks. I hit you in the shin.
Do you have to bring your own stick, or is it like in – gym class when they would provide you a very, very crummy one?
I bring my own stick and I wrap it up in tin foil. No, they give you the hockey stick that they go ahead and give you. So that's
straight out of phys ed class with the giant trash can where there's just a million crummy sticks there.
No, the blue and red ones?
Yeah, the blue and red ones. These are pretty good though. I was started curving them to, you know, bending it to sort of get a curve on them and stuff like that. So, and the you know, they have regular goaltenders, the house goaltenders out there. My kids got a big game at Saturday against a crowd of like 1,000 up in Canada. You know, my kids playing in the Canadian League. I am nervous like crazy for him because like he had schools there watching him and stuff, colleges, and he gave up 6 goals last game, Brady. It just absolutely ate me up. But
you said he played a good team.
But he played a great team, but that's not the point though. And my wife was screaming like a knucklehead. I had to leave the house. She's like,
your wife was screaming.
Oh my gosh. Oh my, I can't do it because we're watching on the computer. And if he gives up, he goes, what's wrong with him? And I can't even give it justice on some of the words she said. No, I'm serious. I can't. If I put a, you know what, I'll put a microphone in there and you'll see. And then you have to bleep out the curse words. It's terrible. I can't watch a game. She's flying there to watch the game because I can't have her around the house this week.
You know, we did a contest on Facebook Live today. Yeah. We gave away Red Sox tickets. Yeah. So again, if you're not following us on Facebook, you need to be. We gave away a 4-pack of Red Sox tickets just on Facebook Live. But Arnie, I asked the question in the video. Hey, comment and let us know who your favorite guest is. So we got a lot of Buster Olney, a lot of Tom Caron, Field Yates. But one person said your wife was his favorite guest.
Oh, but my wife.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And two people said my grandmother.
Oh, we should do more of that. Absolutely do more of that. You know who I want as a guest? Sergio Dip, can you get? Wow, yeah, I do want him on. Is that being mean?
We probably could.
Is that being mean?
It depends on if you're going to make fun of him or not.
Well, of course. Boom goes the dynamite. What do you think I was?
Was that
say?
The same guy?
No, it's not the same guy.
I didn't think so.
But the boom goes the dynamite guy has got to be selling insurance by now. Yeah. Who knows what that guy's doing?
Lay off Sergio.
Why?
He was better than the.
I agree.
The action itself.
First of all, I was going to be a sideline reporter for the Raiders, and I turned that down for the preseason games. I'm like,
who does it now?
I don't even know. But I'm like, I'm not going to do this. This is garbage. I don't want to be a sideline reporter.
You're not good looking enough to be a sideline reporter.
No, you're right. You're 100% right on that. I'm not good looking enough.
You need to be like well kept and handsome.
Do.
That's
absolutely.
Not you.
No,
Sergio looks the part.
But you know what though? I that's changed. It was ever since Tony Siragusa started doing it, right? All of a sudden, Fat and Ugly was in on John Goodman. Fat and Ugly was in for a while in acting there.
Rex Ryan yesterday.
Yeah, Rex Ryan. So you know why? It'd probably be better with me doing it. I'd be, you know, more down to earth. But, oh, my gosh. What the hell was that guy talking about yesterday? Seriously.
You know English isn't his first language, right? You know that.
He's been with the network 9 years, though.
And Spanish is his primary language.
But he knows English.
Oh, stop.
What do you mean, don't stop? What do you mean, don't stop? He knows it. It's not like he's bilingual. He's bilingual.
We have three amazing guests today.
Wow. And you don't like picking up on
and
him.
You want to start with Sergio Dip.
Yeah, I
maybe
do,
you're just
yeah.
being a dip.
Wow!
Stick.
No,
how's that?
Let me tell you something. What would have happened if that was me doing the sideline reporting and I bombed like that?
Then you would have just gone. Here's Vance Joseph. His first game. Broncos winning. That's what you would have done.
So you know, and not only would I have done that, I would have taken my forearm and like hit somebody too. You know,
and then you would have been out for 6 months with a forearm injury.
Yeah, I'm telling you. See, I would have brought a loose.
And you would have claimed workers' comp in that.
And people, at least I would have had a little animation to it, though. If I'm going to bomb, let's really bomb. You know what I mean? I don't even know what he was talking about. He totally lost his train of thought.
I understood him perfectly. He said he had diversity in his background. He was a quarterback in college. He was a defensive player.
You didn't understand
NFL.
It perfectly.
What was he
Come
giving
on.
Me the bio on the guy? That's not what his job was.
And then he said he is having the time of his life.
Oh, you went there to coach? That's my bad. Was it a party? Was there a disco ball? He's having the time of his life, for crying out loud. I mean, geez, unbelievable. He's getting a lot of grief, by the way. Have you seen him all over
the internet? Yeah, he doesn't deserve it.
Doesn't deserve
Lay off Sergio.
Okay. Well, if anybody saw that, maybe we'll
He's put my it second on. Favorite Sergio behind Garcia, though. Just say.
No, he's my first favorite Sergio now. Yeah. Yeah, I'm serious. that was bad. I mean, boom goes the dynamite. He's right up there now. He's famous. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely famous. They should have him and Boom Goes the Dynamite guy do a sports center.
And Jason.
And Jason. You know, that would be a great commercial if Sergio Dip went to Boom Goes to the Dynamite guy and asked him for, like, advice on how to overcome. I'm serious. I think that'd be a great, like, Larry David thing. Yeah. But, okay, last thing. Are you going to write to Larry David and find out if his Beth and Arnie, and Seinfeld is really me and Beth?
I reached out to a Seinfeld historian. I'm working on this.
Dude, but you know how to write. Write something to the publicist and get some answers here.
I'll just get Jerry on himself. How's that?
I'm starting to wonder myself now. I'm starting to wonder if I've told that story so much I've made it up or if it's really real. So you have to find out for us. All right, what's going on? Your staples are out. Rich is back tomorrow. So what's coming up on the show today?
Big guest list. Tom Caron, 4:35. Zach Cox of Nesson, 5 o'clock. And former Patriot and Super Bowl champion Willie McGinnis, 5:35. We'll get another person, VIP access for Ryan Russillo when his show comes to Burlington October 6th. He talked about Burlington just minutes ago on his national show. Lake Monsters look to make history, but first, I think there's one place to start.
I feel like I should lose weight for when Russillo comes.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, and, wear a medium shirt.
Yes, you should.
Wow, look at that. He gets mad when I do this. Go ahead. Go.
We watched the Saints yesterday, right? Yeah. Saints played the Vikings. Saints lost. Saints didn't look very good. Saints are playing the Patriots this weekend, so I put it out there. If you're a Patriot fan, did anything that you saw yesterday about the Saints scare you?
It's not about what scares you with the Saints. It's what scares you with the Patriots. I mean, it's the fact that they haven't done anything good that every team should scare you because they're not a very good defensive team. I don't know the last time they've given up 42 points to a Chiefs team that usually doesn't air it out. So, look, I'm not – and I told you that the Saints are overrated. This is a team that the Patriots should beat very easily, Brady. I don't think they have anything to worry about here.
The Patriots should win this game. This game is set up for the Pats to win in every possible way, right? Think about – the scheduling gods of the NFL, how unfair is this? The Patriots play on Thursday. They're going to get 3 extra days to prepare anyways.
Right.
And they get the Saints on a short week.
Yeah.
So not only do the Patriots get 10 games or 10 days to prepare, the Saints only get 6. The scheduling gods are absolutely asinine when it comes to this.
That's, Tom Brady makes the schedule.
then it's asinine. It's ridiculous. The Patriots will have 4 extra days to get healthy, 4 extra days to prepare. They're going to have their travel suited better than what the Saints are. The Saints are going to lose some time in traveling because they're coming from Minnesota. The Saints are down 2 receivers. They're down 2 offensive linemen. They're playing 2 rookies in the defensive backfield. This should be a game that the Patriots win easily.
I'll look up the line. I'll see what it is. I bet you it's about a touchdown, maybe like 6.5.
On the road, I don't think it'll be a touchdown.
No. You know what? Maybe 5.
Yeah, on the road, I think about 5.
Yeah, that was maybe a point too much, but I'll look that up because, again, I take that back, Brady, because anytime you do play on the road, you got to be careful. You know, it's certainly not easy there. But, again, it is a team that you should be because I never thought they were all that great to begin with. I never was really sure why they got rid of Brandon Cooks unless they didn't want to pay him. And maybe they know something we don't. I'm just not really – I'm not bought into this whole team. I'm not.
I mean, Sam Bradford threw for 300 and 46 yards yesterday, 3 touchdowns. And Bradford, he got away from his norm, right? We associate Bradford with dink and dunk offense. I mean, last year, he had the fewest yards per attempt of anyone in the NFL. Well, yesterday, he comes out and he goes 8 of 9 on passes 15 yards down the field. The Patriots were kind of forced to throw the ball deeper last week. And if they have to do that again, that's going to play right into their game plan.
Actually, Patriots 6.5-point favorite. I pretty much nailed that one right there on the road there. So that's really a slap in the face. Usually, it's very tough to go ahead and get it to 7. Also, Brady. So it's showing you that there's no worry about the Saints, even if they're playing at home.
Dalvin Cook ran for 127 yards yesterday for Minnesota. So the Saints did not stop the run. Dalvin Cook ran all over them. They did not stop the deep pass. Sam Bradford threw all over them. I'm liking my odds that Tom Brady can get rectified, whatever was wrong in week 1. I'm liking his odds of really, really coming out here with an established game plan and being able to execute it because I don't think the Saints can take away any one thing at all.
Well, now you're making it a must-win because if you lose to a team where you're a 7-point favorite and start off the season 0-2, especially for a team that you should beat. Now you're kind of saying, oh my goodness, we can't lose this because we can't come back from 0-2, especially when we're a 7-point favorite against this team, Brady.
You can come back from 0-2 because of the division they play in.
Oh,
the division the Patriots play in is so weak that I do think 0-2 could still somehow yield a playoff.
You're the math guy, right? You're not the gambling guy, but
okay.
But who's the statistic guy where if you the difference between starting a year 0-1 and making the playoffs and 0-2 and making the playoffs astronomical. Like if you start off 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs are like 15%.
Oh, I know the math says going 0-2 would not be a good thing.
Disgusting.
But with this division, I think this division is so poor, I think 0-2, you could still come back.
But
I don't even want to think that.
Right.
I'd be more worried. If they lost to the Saints, you'd be losing a game that was so built in for you to win. You're playing, you've got 4 extra days of advantage, chance to get healthy.
Right.
They're coming off a short week in which they were on the road in the first place. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. They lost a wide receiver to suspension right before the season started. They traded Brandon Cooks. Sean Payton and Adrian Peterson are fighting over how many carries Peterson gets already. Nothing right now about the Saints, to me, I have any confidence in them.
All right, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672, like Donald in Georgia, who said easy. Let's wait and see it on Sunday. Well, the show is today, so we got to do the show today. We can't wait till Sunday. But, maybe we shouldn't have put so easily in front of that. Maybe there should be a question mark
on that. The Patriots should win this game easily. They should win this game easily.
Do you ever win a game easily on the road, except if you're playing maybe the New York Jets? Do you ever win a game easily on the road, Brady?
I'm not saying they should win it 49-0, but
right.
I'm saying this should be a game that the Patriots come out and dominate in every facet. They have every possible advantage you can want. They have more time to prepare.
How about the fact that it's on the road and in a dome, too, is two strikes there.
That's not strikes. Tom Brady playing in a dome is equal to Drew Brees playing in the dome to me.
Okay, well, still going on the road is a strike.
Okay, so going on the road is a strike. But other than that, you've got 10 days to prepare. You can get healthy, and they're not playing with a full deck because of all the injuries and suspensions.
All right, what's coming up next segment? What are we doing there?
We'll get back into the Patriots. We've got a lot of audio around the team. Tom Brady spoke yesterday, and also, have we given the Patriots too much credit? We're going to get into that.
All right, also, Tom Karen's going to be coming on later on. We got Gone But Not Forgotten. Willie McGinnis will stop on by. Zach Cox, our Patriot insider. We got a full show right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Game, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Tom Karen joining us in about 20 minutes real quick because you're the baseball nut. So you love the whole jersey retirement thing. You heard about Kobe. They're going to retire his number.
Yes.
By the way, you're supposed to wait till you get into the Hall
of Fame. So how does me being a baseball nut equate with Kobe?
Well, I'm going to tie it into this because they're going to retire both of Kobe's jerseys, number 8 and number 24.
Okay.
You okay with that or should it just be one? I think it should be just be, number 8.
I think it should be just be number 8.
Right. Because, in baseball, the Yankees, they retired number 1 through...
There are no single digits left.
I would say number 1 through 9.
Yes. Just,
except number 0, right? Number 0?
Right. There's no single digits left.
Yeah, I thought two of them was a little too much. You know what I mean?
And
24?
I guess you got to look at it and say Kobe was one of the best players in history, so we got to do something different for him.
Thank goodness he didn't wear another number. You're going to retire all the early numbers. All right, what's going on with the Patriots as they get ready for the Saints this week?
Yeah, a lot of things coming out of Tom Brady's weekly conference call with WDEI, or weekly radio hit with WEEI. So a bunch of different things. Jason, give us Tom Brady number 5, talking about where this team is at and kind of some comparisons to other teams that he's been a part of.
It's really a new team, and there's new players, a lot of new players. There's a lot of new schemes. Obviously, new opponents, new challenges, new circumstances you're dealing with. And you've got to try to get this team to be as good as we can, as quickly as we can.
Now, you hate when Tom Brady talks because you think he says a lot of words and doesn't give you anything.
Yeah, which is right there. But I do get a hint of...
frustration?
Not frustration, worrisome in his voice. I think he's a little worried about this upcoming year.
I think that, and look, Arnie, you're going to try to pin this on me and say I told you so.
Of course I will.
I don't think it was the wrong assumption by me or anybody else to say this Patriots team was going to be the best team in the AFC. They still might be the best team in the AFC, right? They still might go 13-3. They still might go 14-2. Heck, they could still go 15-1. But I do think that potentially we were too quick to try to play the season on paper rather than try to let it actually play out. And the thing I said about the Patriots all along is, you just have to see what kind of attrition you go through injury-wise. Nobody planned for Edelman getting hurt. Nobody's planned in their projections for Hightower and Edelman or and Amendola to already be dealing with some injuries. Too many injuries already starting to pile up. That's what worries you. It's not that the Patriots aren't good, but they're also playing severely hampered, as a number of teams will play severely hampered.
I thought they were going to win 10 games because their defense was not up to par.
But you really thought they were going to win 10 games. If they were at full strength all year, you still thought this team was a 10-win team?
Yeah, well, this
team?
Is what I said before. While they were at full strength, I said, you know what? This defense is not a good defense. I forget about the running game, and I might have been wrong about that. I just said, look, they're not a good defense. You talked about how good the secondary was. I started this, you know, especially in the preseason, I was scratching my head. At first game against Jacksonville, the way they gave up the run with the first team, I'm like, you know what, this is not a very good defense at all. It's just proven my point. Now, maybe it will change when they get to the regular season, but this defense is actually worse than I even imagined, to be honest with you, Brady.
Then let's circle back to Tom Brady, because Ryan Clark was on Mike and Mike today. Ryan Clark, former NFL cornerback. You hear him a lot on Mike and Mike through the NFL season. He talked about maybe we were too quick to just assume that things are going to work out for the Patriots. Jason, give us Ryan Clark number two.
I don't think we took into account the loss of Julian Edelman. I mean, we've seen Tom Brady so many times just take any cast of characters and make them exceptional football players. I mean, extend their careers. We weren't used to seeing this offense be befuddled the way they were in the second half once Amendola went down. And defensively, Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick, we always talk about no matter who they have on defense, they're able to stop people. They're able to keep people from gashing them, from getting into the end zone. They weren't able to do that. They didn't tackle well. They weren't in the positions that we're used to seeing the New England Patriots in. And what was more alarming to me about that game is they didn't make adjustments,
yeah,
right? When we talk about the New England Patriots, we sometimes don't give their players the admiration that we should for them winning because we're so high on their coaching staff.
I think Ryan Clark's right there. I think we were too quick to just assume that because things have worked out before, they're automatically going to work out again. And we've been so quick to just say, oh, and Bill we trust, and Bill we trust, that we have to understand that maybe this group of players isn't as good as players they've had in the past, especially defensively. I still think this team...
Well, go ahead.
I still think they're the best team in the AFC, but I'm not now ready to say, okay, they're just going to roll through and go 13-3. I can see there being a lot of adversity this team has to overcome. I still think they get there at the end, but the journey's not going
to
be easy.
When you're supposed to be 16-0, a loss of one person does not affect the team as much. When you're a super team that's supposed to go undefeated, something that has been done twice, and once you lost in the Super Bowl, the other one went undefeated. If you're going to be that good, you can lose a wide receiver and still have a better showing than that. But you lost a wide receiver. Your defense is disgusting. You're not a super team, Brady. This is baloney. You were never that good.
But see, it's not just about Edelman. It's about a collection of guys. So yes, you lost Edelman. Now you're looking at who can step
you're
up.
You're still a big favorite at home, Brady.
Who can step up besides Edelman? Well, Malcolm Mitchell out now. Out until at least week 10. There's one wide receiver now gone. You lose Amendola for the second half.
Yeah, they don't play defense, though.
But you're down. We were talking about the depth of wide receiver that this group has. You go from 5-3 in the game.
42 points.
You go from 6-3. Yeah, but how much of that, you can't pin that all on the defense. If the team goes 3 and out, or if the team goes 2 possessions and out, and the defense is on the field, that's a part of it.
You know what it is? Let me tell you how it is. You know how you could read somebody's face when you know something's bad? You're like, oh my goodness, you can see everybody's face around you, and everybody's in a panic mode. Last year, right, when we just started getting going, we had calls about the Patriots like it was going out of style. Everybody knew that they were going to win it all. This year, the text, it's like pulling teeth, because Patriot fans know they're in for a long, long year. They see the warning flags, Brady. They see the flags. That's why they're a little bit nervous. I don't blame them. It's going to be a miserable year this year. Yeah, Jason.
One game is just a bad game, but besides the fact that they lost their best receiver in Julian Edelman, they lost that familiarity, and Tom Brady can make anybody good. That's why I'm not worried, and you're out of your mind if you still think that they're in for a tough year, because they could sleepwalk and win the AFC East.
Oh, yeah, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, but Jason, just do remember this, and trust me, I'm not in the business of just agreeing with Arnie, but
of course not.
You lose Edelman, then you lose Amendola during the game. You lose Mitchell.
Yeah.
You get the injuries start to pile up. You have soldiers out the entire preseason. You lose that familiarity on the offensive line. Hightower doesn't play in the preseason. You're getting used to it. So I can just say that the collection of things that we didn't think were going to be problems,
that you guys didn't think,
they showed up as problems in week 1. You look at last year, Look at who won. Outside of Gronk, the Patriots stayed healthier than everybody else. Even the Falcons team that they beat in the playoffs was losing multiple, was missing multiple pieces on defense in the Super Bowl.
George Donald and Georgia said the last three times the Patriots lost the season opener, they ended up winning the Super Bowl, so we got that going for us. I guess
that's
Donald,
true.
Donald and Georgia are the only one listening to the show or the only one that's texting on in 802-655-6672, 655-6672, or when we give away Red Sox tickets to everybody that calls it, and Matt Brady.
Hey, Tom Brady also speaking about what else needs to happen for this team, for some of the team, for some of the individuals. Jason, give us number seven. Tom Brady, number seven.
Mental toughness is a real thing, and you've got to be mentally tough enough to put aside the good things that people say and the bad things that people say. And it's a roller coaster of emotions, and if you get involved in that roller coaster, you know, it's probably more challenging.
Tom Brady's right. Mental toughness is a real thing. And the thing that bothered me most about last Thursday's game is that Tom Brady's face told the story that it looked like he was more invested than others. And that's the thing that you can't have. You can't, because after the game, what proved it for me was that Tom Brady was talking about attitude, effort, championship mindset, basically saying that nobody else had it. So if you looked at Brady on the bench, he looked visibly frustrated because it almost looked like it meant more to him than it did anybody else, and that can't be the case.
Brian and Richmond said it's the year of the Dolphin, which I totally agree.
That's not true.
That's why I have them going to the Super Bowl.
If Jay Cutler, look, and I like Jay Cutler. I like Jay Cutler far more than most people do, but he wasn't even on a roster up until August. He wasn't good enough to be on anybody's roster, and now you just think he's going to come off the couch and take it to the playoffs? I don't believe that.
All right, we got our first knee-jerk reaction from Craig in Highgate. Brady is washed up, and he knows he's done. They need to lose and draft a great quarterback to make them great again. Craig in Highgate.
That's the second knee-jerk reaction, because you said the same thing earlier.
Well, they are done. They are done, but I don't think they're going to draft the quarterback.
They don't need to draft one. They got Garoppolo.
But they won't be that bad enough to grab one of those great quarterbacks.
You wouldn't even need to. You would just sign Garoppolo long-term.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he's the answer. You know, I like Sam Darnold over Garoppolo. I like Josh Rosen over Garoppolo. I like Lamar
Jackson.
No,
wait. You can't like Josh Rosen over Garoppolo.
Why?
He doesn't have time for football and anything else.
I know that, but I still like him over that. Yeah, I know.
You like him because he's in the Pac-12 and you're a Pac-12
homer. I like Lamar Jackson over him also. I like those three quarterbacks over. There's something about Garoppolo that's starting to rub me the wrong way about him. I don't know if he's really as good as he's making it, that everybody's making it out to be on him. So, yeah, I agree with him, though. I think Brady, by the way, history's on my side. How many 40-year-old quarterbacks are there out there that was tearing it up in the NFL? Maybe you count them on one handful. That's why history's on my side, Brady.
But you do have freaks. You do have freaks that are able to do things that are uncommon. Look at Ichiro right now in baseball. He's 42, 43 years old. Look at Bartolo Colon, who's in nowhere near the physical shape of Brady.
Well, he's a pitcher. There you go on that, Brady. Yeah.
And he had a terrible year.
Yeah, but I'm saying last year and the year before, he was good. So, yes, it can happen. And Brady, I would argue, is a much more along the lines of Ichiro in that he's just a super freak.
You know, my boss over at Fox Sports Radio on my national show, Scott Shapiro, put out his list of quarterbacks. He had Brady down at number 24 after the first week.
I'm sure he did.
No, I did. I retweeted it and hit the like button on that because I had to suck up to him a little bit.
Since when did I become the Patriots defender here?
Yeah, since they started 0-1 and they may start 0-2, the season might be over.
But they're not washed up. Brady's not washed up. But yes, we were too quick to just rest on past reputation.
802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. 802-655-6672. Coming up next, though, we go down to speak to our buddy Tom Karen at Nesson as he joins us every week, our Red Sox insider. That's coming up next right here at 101.3 ESPN.
Huddle, where Brady's in for Rich, Jason's in for Brady, and no one is in for Arnie. Because how are you going to replicate that? 101.3 ESPN. We'll be right back.
everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 103 ESPN. Sorry about that, Brady. I'm breathing heavy now. I just got done with the bathroom, man. Give me a break here. These breaks are long enough, for crying out loud. I wasn't paying attention.
I was just going to go on without you, but...
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
I'm don't you know that
running
during
around
the break,
talking to people.
Yeah, you were talking to people in the hallway, like...
Went to my car, went to the bathroom.
Come on.
And running around like crazy out there.
And we are going to try to get Tom Karen.
Yeah, we'll see if we get a hold of Tom Karen. Lots going on down there in Boston, obviously, with the Red Sox. Only with a 3-game lead over the Yankees. That's not a done deal with 19 left, Brady. That's not a give me... 3-game lead overnight with 19 left.
Yeah, 3-game lead, 19 left. How about James in South Burlington says he just passed our bus and said that you have a face for radio.
Oh, like I haven't heard that before, James. And wait, and a voice made for the mute button. You didn't say that. You can read the whole thing, Brady. Let me read it again. Just passed your bus. Arnie has a face made for radio and a voice made for the mute button. There you go. So let's read the thing correct there. Yeah, I love that bus. I do. I love seeing the picture on the side, and it should be on every bus, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? It should be on every one of them running around Burlington.
Hey, we got TC.
All right, TC, so yeah.
Here we go. Tom Karen-Nesson, he's on the phone line with us. TC, thanks for being with us as you are every Tuesday. How you doing?
Good, TC. Good. What's shaking down there in big Boston?
Well, you know, 3 weeks left in the season, waiting for the football team to win a game. Bruins getting ready to open. You know, just the usual stuff.
Wow. Hey, have people forgotten about the Red Sox all of a sudden because the offense was slumping? The Patriots, the Patriots are never going to win a game again. I mean, have people forgotten about baseball?
Well, you know, they are one of the 16 teams that will not go 19-0 this year. Right. We know that much.
You know what, just on a side note here, how tough do you think it's going to be for the Patriots to say goodbye to somebody like Tom Brady? It's got to be like saying goodbye to Larry Bird almost. It's crazy, you know?
Well, you know, David Ortiz is here for the Red Sox.
Well, right?
You look at the Red Sox, though. It really did take the better part of the season for them to figure out how to live without David Ortiz. I mean, when you have a guy who is that much the center of a team, there's stuff beyond the field, and we know what Brady does on the field. Nobody's better. But beyond that, what he does in that locker room, what he does as a presence to that organization, it's going to take a long time to replace somebody like that. Mm-hmm.
TC, let's go to the Red Sox now, and I've wrestled with this for the better part of a week and a half. Who would be the better playoff matchup, Cleveland or Houston? Because now Cleveland has surpassed Houston, which would mean the Red Sox would play the Astros if things hold serve now, but I don't know what the better matchup would be.
I'll take Houston any day. I just not just because, you know, the Indians are in the middle of a 70-game winning streak, but because I don't know. I don't see the same concern with the pitching for Houston, and I know it's good, but I just don't think it's the same as what Cleveland's going to throw out at you. Verlander isn't the guy he was a couple years ago, and he's really good, and he makes them a whole lot better. But the Red Sox have had some success against Verlander. They've had some success against Keuchel. And if you look this year, the Red Sox have been pretty good against good pitching. It's these, you know, Wade Miley's of the world that are killing you. And they lose to these guys who, you know, are kind of soft-throwing nobodies. And that's what's frustrating about this team at times. But I don't, you know, Houston's a very good team, no question about it. But right now, this Indian team, and it's getting healthier. Chisholm's back. You're talking about Brantley returning, Andrew Miller returning. Frighteningly, it's even going to be better than this team that's reeling off 19 straight wins. Oh. So I think getting Houston in the first round would be a great advantage over facing Cleveland. I just don't think they match up well against Cleveland.
You know, you talk about the Wade Miley's of the world messing with the Red Sox. Well, why can't Eduardo Rodriguez be that to somebody else? He's been so up and down all year. He gets the ball tonight. How kind of vexing has he been this season?
Vexing, wow.
Vexing, that's an impressive word on a Tuesday. I mean, listen, he's been frustrating, there's no doubt about it. And ever since the knee injury, he hasn't been the same. Hasn't won a game now since May 26th. That's a long, long time ago. He looked better last time around, But I'll tell you what, he's pitching for a spot in the playoff roster right now because, Fister's already moved to the number three spot.
Yeah,
forget about whether or not. I mean, Fister is your number three starter. And so either Porcello or Rodriguez gets the ball in game four. And I thought Porcello looked okay Sunday, even though he gave up a couple of runs in the fifth inning. I thought there, you know, a couple of bats got on the ball and snapped him down the line. I thought he pitched well. So now the pressure's on Rodriguez. I think all things being equal, you know, Porcello's got a better resume and he's right-handed, which balances off the rotation a little bit. So Rodriguez is going to have to be really good here over the next few starts to knock off Porcello in the playoff rotation.
What about David Price? Where does he fit in? Not that like we're paying him a lot of money or anything. Where does he fit in this whole thing?
Well, to me, he's going to be out of the bullpen if he's going to be on this roster. I just don't see how you're going to see enough out of him to give him the ball. Now, again, that could change if both Porcello and Rodriguez are really bad over their next few starts and you're grasping at straws. And maybe you do let him make one start. But to me, his value could be out of the bullpen. Listen, your number two guy is Pomeranz, and even when he's good, he goes about six innings. He's not a guy who goes real deep in the games. So you might really have a benefit out of having a guy like Price who can come in and give you two innings in game two after Pomeranz. And again, when he pitches later in the series, that long guy in a playoff series can be a big help. So, to me, he's going to be a reliever in the playoffs if he's healthy.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us here on The Huddle, as he does every Tuesday, 101.3 ESPN. On the Red Sox offense, you know, I used to think all season, the lack of power doesn't really bother me because they're top five in average, or top five in on-base percentage. Well, now they're nearly out of the top 10 in all of those things. So what worries you more, the lack of power or the lack of ability to string together hits?
Well, it's still the lack of power because that's what changes a playoff game. We saw it last year, in that quick three-game series. It was that home run at an inopportune time that kind of jars a team in a playoff, you know. It's all the above because you got to get on base either way, but this team has shown no signs of hitting for power consistently, so it's hard to imagine they're going to come into the playoffs and hit a bunch of home runs. You know, I don't have the math, but I would bet that the teams that hit more home runs generally win playoff series.
You know, TC, you and Brady are the baseball experts, so you tell me, but I've never seen a year coming into the playoffs where so many teams, I mean, really, so many teams have legitimate chance to win a World Series. I mean, Boston, Cleveland, Houston. I mean, you can't even forget about the Yankees in the American League, and then Washington. I don't even know what to make of the Dodgers. The Cubs are the forgotten team. And, heck, Diamondbacks and the Rockies are even – you don't even want to mess with them with the streak they're on. This is crazy.
Yeah, it really is. And you saw it all year in the standings in the American League. The wild card race has had six or seven teams. And, again, they're not all contenders. But there's a lot of teams – that if they hit their stride and can line up their rotation the right way, could go pretty deep. You know, the Yankees are a team I wouldn't want to see in the playoffs at any point because they can hit home runs, and they do have a power bullpen, a bunch of arms that come out and shut you down. And Severino, to me, matches up pretty well as a game one starter with anybody right now. I mean, he's the real deal. And, you know, the only thing with the Yankees is, they're running out of time to catch the Red Sox. They can still do it, obviously. It's only three games out with 19 to go.
Ooh.
But they're running out of time, and that wild card game, you wind up using Severino to win the wild card game. That puts you at a pretty big disadvantage in that first round with a best of five against either Cleveland or Houston. So I think that's the one that hurts. There's no doubt they really would love to keep their focus on catching the Red Sox. But to me, the biggest difference right now is in that race, the Red Sox, you know, you got the A's, then you got the Rays, then you got the Orioles, then you got the Blue Jays. I mean, you should be able to kick your way through that schedule pretty well down the stretch here for Boston.
Arnie, I'm going to ask two questions here.
Yeah,
I'm going to be the annoying guy that asks about next season when this season's not over.
No.
So, TC, I'm going to ask you two forward-looking questions. Eduardo Nunez, is he a guy this team could look at in terms of trying to keep him around? I'm trying to think where he would play on an everyday basis, but is he a guy they should bring back next year?
Nunez?
Yeah.
It is a good question because, you know, here's what you know. You know Moreland's not going to be back at first base, right? Now, Nunez can't play first base. But you know you're going to be in the market for a first baseman or maybe a DH with Hanley going back to first base. Devers is your third baseman. You know that. You know that Bogaerts is your shortstop, and you know that Pedroia is your second base. Now, Pedroia's getting older, and durability is an issue. Could Nunez be your, you know, backup guy? But is he going to cost too much to be that utility guy? I'm not sure. He'd be a really good fit as a utility guy. And we've seen what he can do. He can bounce around and play all those positions, even grab some spot in the outfield. But if you're doing that, then where's Brock Holt? So I don't see Nunez and Holt coming back next season. And I think you're going to save a lot of money on Holt over Nunez. So as much as I like Nunez, I'm just not sure the value makes a lot of sense for the Red Sox unless something else drastic happened. You were trading away a player or somebody was injured and you knew he wasn't coming back. But right now, to me, Holt can give you more or less what Nunez gives you, you know, as a backup guy. Unless you're going to play Nunez every day, he might just price himself out of the market.
All right, TC, Arnie's telling me we got to go in a second, so wow. I won't ask my question about next year's schedule, which just came out.
All right, let's go.
Let me hear the question you got.
I'm going to go game by game. Win or lose each game.
Well, hey, they're starting out finally, at least in the southern part of the country, rather than playing a 29-degree game in Boston.
Yeah, that's a good start. I mean, yes, I agree. Yes, that's good. Play all. They should play the whole month of April in Florida and don't.
Hey, Bruins question. We were hanging out with the Bruins last 2 weeks ago up here on their Fan Fest. They're looking to try to lock up David Pastrnak to a new deal. How big is that for the team? Where are we at?
Well, it's huge, but I mean, everything I keep hearing is they're pretty far apart. A couple of years and a couple of million per year. And when you start hearing the reports floating around that he's got offers from KHL teams, you know, that's an agent building some leverage. I love that Brad Marchand came out and said he doesn't care if Pastrnak's the highest played guy on the team. I think that's good leadership. In other words, let's get it done here, boys. But it's certainly a distraction if they're ready to come together this week and that's still out there and you're still talking about a big gap. They need Pastrnak. You know, I've been on this show a long time and long enough that we've talked about losing Sagan and losing Kessel. I'm sick of them losing 40-goal guys at 21 years old. So, you know, let's get this guy locked up because you need to keep him and keep that goal-scoring opportunity together for these young guys. You don't have enough of them. You got to get this done.
And it's never too early to start looking at goalies for 5 to 6 years from now, like my kid, TC. Come on now. He's playing
lock
in Canada.
Let's go. Lock him up.
He's playing an
entry-level contract.
He's playing in Canada, so we'll keep an eye on him for crying out loud. Do something.
If he gets a KHL deal, will you go watch the games?
I'll watch it on TV. I'm not a big vodka drinker.
Live stream. That's a beautiful thing. Watch it on your phone.
All right, DC, enjoy. Have a great week, and we'll catch up with you later on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's our favorite. Tom Caron joining us as he does every week. Think I pushed my kid a little too hard there or what there?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, like, well, that's expected. No doubt about that. Arnie, lay off the booze before you go on the air. You just sound crazy talking about Garoppolo like that. That's a new one and no name on that. So,
yeah, didn't want to put. If you're going to rip him, put the name on it, people.
Yeah,
but, put the name on it.
I love that they passed the bus. What's coming up on the Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Talk more about the Patriots. Got a lot of thoughts here on what they can do to use a number of advantages this week against the Saints.
All right, Sergio, easy there for a second there. I thought you were going to turn to the
you
Sergio
thought what?
Dip. I was taking you so long to spit out that tease there.
You thought I was going to screw up.
Yeah, then you're going to screw up there. All right, coming up next. Oh, yes.
I didn't.
Coming up next, we finish off hour number one as we go to Gone But Not Forgotten, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral Home and Cremation. That's next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Burial and Cremation here in Burlington. Brady, and of course, in your biggest time of need, you'll want to give them a call because they will not take advantage of you. They've got green burials. They've got pet burials. They also have sports-themed burials. Give our friends a call at Elmwood Meunier. Let's get right at it. Diane, on this day, Johnny Unitas, everybody. I'm pointing at you.
Unitas dropping back to do what he can do best of all, throw that football. John Mackey on the receiving end and watching Bull his way in for the score as Unitas sets a new NFL record for TD passes thrown, 213.
You're seeing the greatest in operation down there right now, at least statistically.
I love the old school announcing. I think that was Rich on the call there. I'm not sure about that. Also, passing on this way, one of my favorite actors, John Ritter from Three's Company. I don't know if you remember John Ritter.
And Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
Oh, that's right. Later on for Eight Simple Rules, also known from Three's Company. That was the original one that he was in, was Three's Company. And this was a big hit back in the time. I don't know if you know that.
The song. Well, come and knock on our door.
The song, but the TV show, too, you know that.
There's always a misunderstanding.
Can you imagine if you had a show like this where you had to pretend to be gay so you could live with two women? Can you imagine if they came up with a TV show like this today?
Mr. Roper.
Yes, right? Mr. Roper. Yeah. And he would make fun of gay people.
Yes.
Not
politically correct.
No, not politically correct now in 2017. And, well, Jason, you could probably tell more people about this than I could. Tupac passed away. You sure this is okay to play?
Yes, is this edited?
Oh,
is this Hey Mama?
Is this edited?
Dear Mama.
Is this edited?
Yeah. Dear Mama, good song. Good song. I'm partial to All Eyes on Me.
Wow, look at you. I was just listening to All Eyes on Me on the way in.
I'm sure you were.
I was singing along to
Sinatra. Does Sinatra have an All Eyes on Me song too?
And Donald DeGiorgio, I don't know how I missed this. Bernie Mac from Bad Santa. Was he in Bad Santa? He's been in a bunch of stuff. I love
Mr. 3000.
Hey, Mr. 3000. Love a Bernie Mac. So some of the deaths that we had the last couple of days on this anniversary.
What look, my there, gone right? But not forgotten. Yep. Everything we knew about the NFL is dead to me. We thought we knew that the Patriots were the best team. We thought we knew that the Bills had no chance. Yep. We thought we knew all these teams that I thought
Jacksonville
were great looked horrible. And all these things I thought were going to be horrible ended up looking good. Houston was awful. Cincy was awful. Yep. Baltimore looked good. We just don't know.
Chicago even looked good, even though they lost.
We just don't know.
All right, there you go. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral Home and Cremation. Like I said, give them a call in Burlington. They do green burials. They do pet burials. And, of course, sports-themed burials. In your biggest time of need, give our friends a call at Elmwood Meunier Funeral Home and Cremation. That is gone, but not forgotten. Hour one of the books. Jason's going to come back with a SportsCenter update. And then we had a chance to catch up with Zach Cox, our Patriot Insider. That will start off hour number two right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Tuesday. It is 5 o'clock, and that means it's time to get all of your Patriot questions answered. We go out to the phone line and find ourselves our Pats Insider from Nesson. Joins us every week at this time. It's Zach Cox. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well as well. Look, I watched the Patriots game week one, and I walked away thinking the Pats played pretty good, actually. I just thought Kansas City played great. But after seeing all the junk we saw in week one from the rest of the league, the Patriots, it looks like a great performance. What did you think?
Yeah, we did see quite a bit of junk in week one. I feel like I turned on my TV at 1 p.m. on Sunday, and by 1:15, they're already 3 pick sixes and 6 fumbles and 6 interceptions. There's a lot of sloppy football this weekend, but Patriots definitely were not immune to that. This was one of the sloppier games that I've seen them play in a long time. I don't think it was as bad as maybe some people have been saying in the few days since the game. That fourth quarter was just absolutely terrible. They got outscored 21-0 in the fourth quarter. But before that, they were playing pretty well. And for a lot of that game, the way I thought it was going to play out is going to be one of those that they end up squeaking out at the end. They win by 4 points or 7 points. Then we'll spend the whole week complaining about the things they did wrong, but they'll still end up with the win. The way that the Chiefs really just kind of imposed their will on them at the end of the game was a little startling, just because you never really see that from a Bill Belichick team, a Patriots team like this. But I mean, the team that they're playing this week now just made Sam Bradford look like Joe Montana. So it might be a bit of a better week for the Patriots moving forward. But there were definitely some concerns to point at coming out of this week one.
You know, this happens every year. I feel like I have a gripe with the way the NFL does the scheduling. It does not seem right that the Patriots are going to get an extra long week, 10 days to prepare, and the Saints are going to get them on a short week. I just don't understand the scheduling at times. Did you notice that as an oddity also?
Yeah, that doesn't really make any sense at all. It's definitely pretty unfair for the Saints to have to do this, to come from a Monday night now playing on a Sunday afternoon where it feels like the Patriots played 3 weeks ago already. They're going to be completely rested, completely
completely fresh, especially since they are dealing with some injuries. So who knows if guys like Dante Hightower or Danny Amendola will be able to play now given the extra rest. I still haven't heard any word either way on either of those guys. Yeah, it's definitely a very big advantage for the Patriots. It's kind of strange that the NFL would kind of stick the Saints in this uncomfortable position, especially since they have to go to London in 2 weeks. They have to go to New York, I believe. Their travel schedule is pretty brutal these first couple of weeks, and yeah, this definitely doesn't help.
Well, the Patriots left us with a lot of questions about what went wrong and what happens from here. Let's start what happens from here at wide receiver. You mentioned Danny Amendola. This team unexpectedly put Malcolm Mitchell on IR right before last week's game. They're rolling pretty thin at a position group we thought they were pretty deep at. What's happening at wideout?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how much that situation has turned in just a couple of weeks. I mean, ever since Julian Edelman went down against the Lions in the preseason, even when that happened, you thought, all right, that's going to be a blow. Edelman's probably maybe the second best offensive player on this team the second most important, I should say, behind Tom Brady. But they'll be fine. They're deep enough. And then, yeah, the Malcolm Mitchell news was a real shocker to me. I mean, he's been banged up for basically the entire summer. He's kind of been on and off the field. But if it was a serious enough injury, I would have thought that they would have put him on the PUP list, keep him out for the first 6 weeks. Now he can't play until week 10 at the earliest, which really puts him in a bind. Then Danny Amendola going down, which was basically the reason that everybody was afraid to put him on punt return, because he always gets hurt on punt return. He got hurt again on punt return. Now they have only three wide receivers on their active roster, and they've got a game in, 4 days? Yeah. So it's tough. I mean, they're looking at either going into this game with just the three wide receivers, promoting the one receiver they have on the practice squad, DeMarcus Ayers, rather. But if they do that, they have to keep him on the active roster for 3 weeks, or going out and getting another guy. But as we've seen with Philip Dorsett, it kind of takes a little while for someone to get acclimated into the system. You can't really expect a wide receiver to join the team on Tuesday or Wednesday and then be a real factor in the game on Sunday. So they're in a really tough situation right now, and I don't really know what they're going to do about it. It's going to depend, of course, on how healthy or how quickly Danny Amendola can get back onto the field. You never know with concussions there. It's such a strange thing. You'll see some guys be good to go a week later. Some guys end up out for 3 weeks to a month. So we really don't know the severity on that. But yeah, it's kind of striking how it's gone from being probably the deepest and best receiving core in the entire league to now they're kind of running on fumes.
Zach Cox, our Patriots insider in Essen, joins us every Tuesday at 5 right here on 101.3 ESPN. I have to say, if I have one complaint about the Patriots game plan, and I know who am I to question Bill Belichick, but I didn't love the way the running backs were deployed. I was like ready for 8 carries apiece. I was ready for a bunch of pass receptions out of the backfield, and we didn't really get that. It wasn't balanced among the four of them. It was really just a lot of Mike Gillisley and a little bit of James White and really nobody else.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think Rex Burkhead played maybe 10 or 12 offensive snaps. Deion Lewis only played 6. So they really weren't factors at all into the game plan. You barely saw Rex Burkhead at all until I believe he had a carry and 2 catches, or a catch and 2 carries on that very last drive. So you didn't see him until the very end. You didn't see much of Deion Lewis at all. And I think that's going to be the case with this running back core pretty much all season. I don't think it's going to be possible to get all four guys into the game plan for every single game. But when you look at the struggles they had at wide receiver, the fact that Rob Gronkowski really didn't look like himself, couldn't get anything going against Derek Barry, it is a little surprising they didn't turn more to the running backs, maybe try to get James White more involved in the passing game, get Rex Burkhead in there a little bit more. Yeah, it was a bit of an odd game plan kind of on both sides. I thought the way that they defended the Chiefs was a little unorthodox as well. I mean, the Chiefs did have a very good game plan for beating the Patriots, but yeah, overall it was an uncharacteristically kind of uneven game.
We heard over the weekend, and you were reporting, that the Patriots were getting a lot of interest in Deion Lewis as a trade chip. They end up holding on to him as of now. They lose DJ Foster off the practice squad to Arizona. Do you think there is a desire or a motivation maybe to move a Deion Lewis, especially if they're not going to give him the ball a lot?
Yeah, I don't think there's a desire to move him. I wouldn't say that. I think they like Deion Lewis. They still view him, I think, as an important piece of this offense. But it comes down to what you can get for him, I would assume. I mean, if another team is willing to move a contributor, I mean, either a defensive end, a linebacker, or a wide receiver, a player that can help the Patriots now more than Deion Lewis might be able to when he's kind of buried on the depth chart, then I think that they would have to look into it. I mean, I heard the report over the weekend from Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald was that they received a lot of calls. They aren't shopping him. They haven't liked any of the offers that they've heard, and they're not kind of actively seeking out offers. But it sounds like they're listening to what other teams have to say, and that doesn't really come as a surprise since they're so deep at running back and kind of shallow at the most spots.
Hey, Zach, a lot of people were kind of bagging on the pregame stuff before the game, you know, on Monday. A lot of people were coming in talking about, oh, they didn't like the pregame concert. They didn't like all the pageantry. It kind of went away from the buttoned-up approach the Patriots usually have. Did you get a chance to see any of that? Did you feel any of that?
I was in the stadium for it. It was very over the top. But, I mean, that's kind of what you, what you come to expect from this franchise nowadays. It's kind of funny how kind of different it is. It's kind of funny how different Bill Belichick approaches things than kind of the organization as a whole, because the organization as a whole, really since Deflategate happened, they've been perfectly fine with kind of flaunting how successful they are, kind of rubbing it in people's faces. But then whenever you ask Bill Belichick about anything, he wants nothing to do with it. He told us earlier in a conference call a couple days ago that he's sick of talking about the past, that every time a team, we bring up a question about the 2014 team, 2017, he wants nothing to do with it. So he kind of wants to get rid of all that stuff, it sounds like. But the organization is big on the celebratory aspect, and yeah, that was definitely quite an elaborate celebration with the fireworks and the concerts and all the banners coming out. But I mean, it makes sense celebrating a Super Bowl title, but once you do all that, it's kind of a rough look then when you come out and get smoked on your home field.
Zach, last question here. You mentioned the Saints really made Sam Bradford and the Vikings look awesome yesterday. They end up losing by 10, but it didn't really feel that close. With the extra time to prepare, the extra motivation of coming off the loss, and considering how the Saints look defensively, this looks like, on paper, a good matchup for the Patriots to try to get things right. What are you looking at early in the week here heading into week two?
It should be, yeah. I mean, the things that stuck out to me from last night's game was the fact that New Orleans defense still looks terrible. They've been terrible for years and years now. They have two rookies starting in the secondary, and Sam Bradford really took advantage of that. I believe he had something like 135 passer rating. Adam Thielen had, I think, 150 yards receiving. They really just kind of imposed their will on the Saints pretty much all day. Then offense, you can still expect the Saints to put up a decent amount of points. I mean, they don't have Brandon Cooks anymore, but they still have Drew Brees. They still have Michael Thomas. They've got a couple young wide receivers that are kind of on the rise in there. And with the fact that the Patriots defense didn't look all that great last week either, I mean, this kind of has the making of a 42-35 kind of game. But one thing that I'm actually really looking for is that the Saints will be starting two backup tackles in this game. Their rookie Ryan Ramczyk is starting in place of Terron Armstead. He started last night. I think he did pretty well considering that the Vikings defense is really good. Zach Strife, their other tackle, he was gone for the game last night. Doesn't look like he will play this week. So Patriots pass rush, they catch a ton of heat a lot of the time. Now this game they're going to be going against an offensive line that has two backup tackles. This could really be a big game for Trey Flowers, Dietrich Wise, Dante Hightower, if he plays, some of those guys. So that's definitely one thing I'm going to be looking for this weekend.
Zach Cox of Nesson, all the Patriots perspective every Tuesday at 5. Hey, we appreciate it. Zach, have a good week. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. See you guys later.
Yeah, you know, 42-35, I kind of have the same feel. I'm not going to say the Patriots are going to win, but 42-35, it has a feel.
So a shootout, yeah.
I could totally see that. Considering that, like I said, the Patriots defense not all that great, and actually, the Saints probably have a better defense than the Patriots.
Oh, my goodness, don't say that.
Yeah, what would they give up, 29?
29. You'd be talking about the Patriots having one of the worst defenses in the league if that's the case, because the Saints have been a bottom feeding
defense. If they
give
up another 40, they may be another one of the worst defenses in the league. That's for damn sure. So, and, you know, I thought he was going to say it kind of has the feel of like a must-win situation for the Patriots starting 0-2, because you know what the odds on that getting to the playoffs.
How about James in South Burlington? He goes, "Hey, Brady, as a Seinfeld fan, you would appreciate the reference. Arnie is a lot like George in that after a while he grows on you," and then he goes, "Costanza." So you don't know that reference.
I don't know. I have no idea what that means.
So George,
and then
is,
you said something back to him, and I don't know what that means.
So George is he's dating this woman, and he said that, you know, he's like a commercial jingle. The first time you hear it, it's a little irritating, and then it starts to get stuck in your head, and then by the third date, it's by Menon. Like, so like you're just thinking about it, and so he says if there's any doubt, he'll do a leave behind. So he'll leave keys, wallet, something in her apartment, something that allows him to go back. He's like, if she doesn't want date number two, he's going to force date number two by leaving something behind.
Geez.
So he's saying,
that's genius.
Yeah. So he is saying that you are like George Costanza. When he first heard you, you were a little irritating. Then you were a little better. And then now he's hooked in where it's like Arnie Spanier.
So, okay, I get it. Because I had to go through all that. Couldn't you have just said it easier? I mean, couldn't they have sent a different text in there? I mean,
no, because he wanted to prove he was a Seinfeld fan, and I appreciate that.
And you're going to find out about Beth and Arnie. Are you going to do that for me or what? I think you should use your writing skills right to the publicist and just explain the whole story.
You know Seinfeld hasn't been on the air for 18 years, right? You do know that. So you want a Seinfeld publicist? You want David's publicist?
Larry David's publicist. I'm sure he'll just toss your email away.
Hey, you, Mr. L.A., don't you have some Hollywood contacts? I will work on this. I do have one guy that might be able to help.
You got a connection.
I do have a guy.
All right. Let me tell you what's coming up. Oh, wait. I was going to tell you what's coming up next, but I got to change into a medium shirt for a second. Now, come on. I can't have a little bit of fun. Come on now.
Hey.
Tell everybody what's going on with Ryan Russillo. And he was talking about doing a show up here.
So we announced our contest yesterday. Jason, let's put all the phone lines on hold here. I don't want people cheating in advance. Put the phone lines on hold.
Can you play what Russillo said?
Yes.
No? Okay.
So Ryan Russillo, we announced it yesterday. Ryan Russillo, October 6th, UVM grad. He's going to be coming to Burlington. He's going to be doing his show live at Red Square on Church Street. He's going to be there. We are going to be doing our show right after Ryan Russillo. So he's 1-4, we're 4-7. And we are giving our listeners an opportunity for VIP access. And what VIP access gets you, it's a pre-show meet and greet with Russillo for a half hour. It's front row seats at his show. It's food and drinks on us, taken care of for you for the whole day.
Wow.
From 1-7.
And he's got some cronies coming in too.
Yeah, he's going to have a co-host coming in with him. We don't know who it is yet. Russillo was talking on his show today about, will he bring Will Kane? Will he bring somebody else?
Arnie?
Maybe. So Russillo was talking about coming to Burlington today.
So they're like, let's try something different. So a friend of mine has a place. I have a bunch of buddies that have places up there. And they're like, okay, we're just going to go ahead. And so I'm going to broadcast live from Burlington on the Friday. That also happens to coincide with my 20th reunion from college. So Rudy and the whole deal... we're also going to have a ton of guys rolling in, so I don't know. Like, some people are going up to Cerruti being like, you've aged incredibly well. What's your name? You should just hang out all weekend, and we should say you're a dude I went to school with, and you just look great.
I think we should just not have a co-host. No offense, Will. No co-host, and bring in a different guy every segment to just share his best Russillo story.
So Russillo's going to be here October 6th. Here, we had so many calls yesterday.
Yeah.
I only asked for caller number 6. We had so many yesterday.
Are you going to do the show with him, maybe? Get on nationally? Get on the first taste of national radio?
Sure, let's do it.
Well,
let's
take. I don't think I can, but I think you get on the show with him.
Friday, October 6th. Yeah. You want the VIP access.
Yeah.
You want to hang out with Russillo.
Yeah.
You want front row seats. You want food and drink on us.
A medium shirt, all that stuff.
You're going to hang out with us as well. Caller number 8 right now, 802-655-6672. You're our VIP for the day. Caller number 8.
Yeah.
Get on it.
There you go. Caller number 8. Jason will get on that. We'll come back and obviously get a little bit more into the Red Sox. We got some baseball stuff that Brady wants to tell you about 2018. Willie McGinnis going to join us before we get out of here. And, of course, we got Last Story Standing. All that coming up next right here at 101.3 ESPN.
Mike and Mike when you drive in and the Huddle when you drive home.
Yeah,
Sports Talk lives right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We got a lot to get to. Oh, we got a new one. Rob in Charlotte on the Town Fair Tire text line.
Is that Charlotte, North Carolina?
Oh, Charlotte.
Yes.
That's right, Charlotte. I forgot about that. I thought this was my national show, which I'm on a quarter of a billion people.
Are you listening to in Charlotte and Charlotte?
Actually, that is one of my affiliates. When you're on a quarter of a billion people per month, you tend to reach a lot more places, too. I don't know if you know that. North Carolina is part of it also. But anyway,
I used to live in North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah, so just said when you're on a quarter of a billion people.
When you reach a quarter of a billion people, my friend. Answer the phones. By the way, the phones are ringing like crazy when you want to give up the Russillo thing, right?
Yeah, people are all over. Look, We will do
crazy
2 weeks worth of VIP. So we will have 10 VIPs in all by the time this is done. So if you didn't get it today, try again tomorrow.
We did the Who Wants to Have Lunch with Arnie, and we didn't get one call. Not one call, Who Wants to Have Lunch with Arnie.
What do you think would be more popular? Taking a Lake Monster game with Brady, a beer with Rich, or lunch with Arnie?
Two of the one I'm not in. That's what would happen. The one I'm not in. Yeah, I was surprised that the phones went crazy. Anyway, Robin Charlotte, what are your thoughts on New England trying to get a guy like Austin Carr back after spending the offseason with them? I told you they should go after, what did I say they should go after? What's his face? The former Giant, Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz.
Is he still out there or was he picked up?
No, he's still out there, but people think he's washed up. Now, Austin Carr has been signed by the New Orleans Saints,
right.
The team they're about to play.
That's right, we talked about that, right? Yeah. We did. We didn't know who.
So Carr has been signed by the Saints.
But that doesn't mean they can't go after. Well, do you think Victor Cruz is washed up? I'm just curious. They need somebody, Brady.
I think he's washed up.
Why not just at least bring him in to take a look at him? They're not even doing that.
I think the best. I think their best course of action is one of two things. I think you sign somebody who's a free agent. You can bring back Devin Lucien, who you liked in the preseason. You can bring him back after week three if you want. He's got in his terms of his injury settlement. You could bring him back after week three. You could also trade Deion Lewis, and I'm not a fan of that.
The big article about that, talking about Zach Cox brought that up also. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of trading Deion Lewis. I think he's valuable in the run game. I think he's valuable in the receiving game. But if he's only going to get two carries six snaps, he may be more valuable to another team than he is to you, and maybe he can bring back an NFL-caliber receiver.
I still think you got to look on who's on the waiver wire and who's out there. I think you get a better chance of doing something like that. All right, you want to get to Nunez. I don't even know why this is a topic of conversation, because my answer is yes. I don't know how you're going to make a case for no on this. But
yeah, we talked with Tom Caron a little bit about this. I was just thinking about this as it went on. Should the Red Sox look to bring back Eduardo Nunez? And I started thinking, well, the answer is yes, right? He's played very well. 8 home runs since he's been here. He's hitting over 300. But where's he going to play? That's what I wonder. Where's Eduardo Nunez going to play? And then when you start to hear about the year that he's had, he's going to cost you some money. So do you want to shell out some money as you're trying to stay under the luxury tax? Do you want to shell out that money for a guy who you really don't have room for?
Yeah, I don't really care about the money, but I understand that that's going to be a concern. I want him there because I know Pedroia is not going to make 162 games. As a matter of fact, if Pedroia makes 110, 120, I'm going to be surprised. I'm done with him. I'm ready to move on. Remember, do the Belichick way. Get rid of him a year or two before, then a year or two after. Unfortunately, you got a guaranteed contract in baseball.
Through 2022. Yeah, I mean, you'd be getting rid of him 4 years
early.
Why did
they just make it to 3,022? I mean, it's the same thing. How do you give a guy that age that many years? Let that be a lesson to everybody out there.
I mean, so if you look at Nunez, look at where he can play. He can play second. Well, you got Pedroia there, and you got him there for a long time. You can play shortstop. You got Bogarts there. You can play third. You got Devers there. You can play left. You got Benintendi in left. You can play center. You got Bradley in center. You can play right. You got Betts in right.
How much does he cost a year?
Well, Nunez is going to cost you because he's had a good year. I can see him getting a 3-year, $30 million deal.
Oh, that's nothing. But that's nothing for him to be a jack-of-all-trades rover, this, that, and the other when somebody gets hurt. That's chump money to people that are on the bench. Players make $10 million.
They don't make that much.
Let me tell you something. I bet you a 3-year, $30 million contract is like on the lower end of somebody his type of ability. Hell, look what they gave Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, but he was brought in to be a starter.
Understand that, but I mean, geez, look at this.
He had a 1-year, $4 million deal this year.
I'd rather give him a 3-year, $30 million to be a part-time starter than what Pablo Sandoval got to be a full-time starter. I promise you that.
But not if you can say that looking in hindsight. At the time, Sandoval was coming off another great World Series with the Giants.
Yeah, but I like being smarter. It's easier that way. You know that? I mean, geez, that makes me look so smart when I say he shouldn't be on the team.
So I just don't know that Nunez has a place on this team. I think he deserves to be sought after.
He plays the outfield too, right?
Yep. You're going to bench Bradley, Betts, or Benintendi?
No, but look how many times he's gotten in now because of the injuries. I mean, it's like starting pitching. You think you only need 5 starting pitching? You need like 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
You think you only need, 8 players that start? You need like 10 or 11 players that start.
Look, I like Nunez. I think he fits on this roster. He's 30 years old, so you look at it and say, okay, still pretty young. 31 maybe he'll be during next season. You get him for 3 years, maybe that would be 34. I'm okay with that, and I'd be okay with the money. But you're looking to stay under the luxury tax. You're going to pay Price still a ton of money. Then you're going to have
Pedroia.
You have Pedroia a ton of money, and you have to start thinking about deals for Bradley, for Betts.
How do you get rid of one of those contracts? How do you dare?
The only way you get rid of a bad contract in baseball generally is you get rid of the player and eat a lot of the money, or you swap bad contract for bad contract.
They got rid of Verlander, which you thought was nearly impossible to get rid of somebody like that.
They got rid of Verlander. They still took some of the money, the Tigers did.
Oh, we'll have to do that then.
And they got elite-level prospects, which the Red Sox don't have.
I told you to do that. I don't even care about the prospects. Whatever, what's Pedroia making $15 million? I don't even know what it is. We'll take five and let them pay the 10 and get them off the books then, man. That's the only way you can get this done, Brady. I'm not messing around.
They're not going to get rid of Dustin Pedroia. He's too
expensive.
Well, yes, he's too expensive, but you start talking about the sentimental value of players to organizations, and I know you're supposed to do business with your head and not your heart.
Ask Belichick what he would do.
I understand that. But you start looking at a team that has just lost Big Poppy and retired on his own, you can't go and cut the face of the franchise. Not only has he been, he might not have been the face of the franchise because Big Poppy was, but he's been the heart and soul of that franchise for a decade.
Don't even ask me. Don't ask me. WWBD, what would Bill do? Just ask yourself, what would Bill Belichick do?
You're saying Bill Belichick's washed up.
Well, come on. He's still one of the greatest coaches of all time. What do you think Belichick would do with Pedroia? What do you think that now? It's a lot easier when you don't have guaranteed contracts. You can cut somebody and get them off the books. I understand that. And even maybe Belichick wouldn't be able to figure out a way to trade Price and or Pedroia. You can't trade Price. That's almost impossible.
It'd be easier at this point to trade Price than Pedroia.
What, are you kidding me?
I think
you see how much money that guy's making? Are you serious? I would touch him with a 10-foot pole.
I think it would be far easier to trade David Price right now
especially
than Dustin Pedroia.
Well, they're both almost impossible to trade.
I mean, Dustin Pedroia is 34 years old. 34 years old, and his health is deteriorating rapidly.
Do you have to eat that money every year on the contract or just the first year that you trade him?
If it's whatever you set out to an agreement
because usually it's like, I'll pick up $5 million now and that's it. You got to pick up the rest. I don't know what the Verlander deal was, but if you could trade Verlander, you could trade anybody.
They picked up 8 of the 28. The Tigers picked up 8 of the 28 remaining.
All right, so 25%.
Yeah.
All right, give or take. Actually, less than that, 20%. So that's not a bad deal. If the Red Sox get away with 20% on the dollar, they would do that in a heartbeat right now. What are you kidding me? They show them the door in a second.
You know, they would
do it easily.
Look, I just think I had to get to this for a second. You yelled at me with Tom Karen. Yeah.
Oh my good, you're such a geek with next year's baseball. Oh my good, what is wrong with you?
So the 2018 baseball schedule came out today. I'm going to spend 30 seconds on it. Number one, kudos to baseball. They finally got it right. The Red Sox are going to open up on the road in Tampa, and then they're going to go to Miami. So they're going to play their first 5 games, 3 in Tampa, 2 Miami, on the road. And that's finally good because I'm tired of watching the Red Sox be worried if they're going to get rained out on opening day or if it's going to be 19 degrees outside when it comes to the wind chill. So they're going to play down south in the dome and then in Florida to start the season. That's right. The Red Sox have an incredibly favorable schedule. They spend nearly all of July at home around the All-Star break. They spend nearly all of September at home as they're going for another potential playoff berth. Red Sox fans in 2018, you'll be happy again.
I'm sorry, were you talking? I mean, next year's baseball schedule? I mean, I'm worried about week 2 of the NFL, for crying out loud. You're geeking out about baseball. I'm glad the Mariners aren't making the playoffs this year because it'd be round the clock 24/7 Mariner talking here. It'd be absolutely disgusting. Are people still calling for Russillo? Oh my goodness, let it die, people. All right, you can come out. You can watch him do the show. By the way, we are doing the show after Russillo, right? Are we not going to be doing that?
So you get, not only will you get to hang out with Russillo before the show, you'll get front row seats at his show and at our show. You're going to get swag from both shows. You're going to get food and drinks on us. It's going to be a great day.
Would you get nervous? He said, come on, Brady. Come talk nationally on ESPN Radio.
No, because I've talked with Russillo multiple times. So no,
but not on ESPN Radio.
Well, then I would say I've done a national show which has reached 750 million people, unlike your quarter of a billion.
Now, suppose you say something, you make a hot sports take, and he goes, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard, Brady.
Then I'd be
an idiot. Don't ever come back on my show.
Then I'd be the Sergio Dip of the world.
Yes, that's exactly what it'd be. You know what? I think you should go on his show. That way I could critique every word, every syllable out of your mouth on nationally. I would love that. All right, coming up next, we're going to have a chance to catch up with Willie McGinnis, a former Patriot. You guys remember him, the linebacker, won not one, not two, but 3 Super Bowls. He's stopping on by next here on 101.3 ESPN.
Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Look, we talked to Zach Cox, our Patriots insider, earlier in the show. Well, what better chance now to talk more Patriots with a guy who used to be on the sidelines for New England? How about former linebacker Willie McGinnis, one of the all-time greats, three-time Super Bowl champ with the Pats. You can hear him now on NFL Network. You can hear him now on NBC Sports Radio when he joins us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Willie, thanks for being with us. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing well, but Patriot fans not doing as well. So take me inside a Bill Belichick. Take me inside a Bill Belichick locker room after a tough loss.
Well, he's going to point out the mistakes. It's not a happy locker room. Guys are not excited about the poor performance. They know that they left a lot of plays out there. They know that they didn't execute the way they were supposed to. The head coach, Bill Belichick, is not going to make any excuses. He's going to give credit to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is deserving because they came out and they outplayed them, they outphysicaled them, they outcoached them, as you heard Bill Belichick said. And Andy Reid did a great job of making halftime adjustments where they took advantage of certain situations out on the field, and it showed in a big way. And it's week one. Nobody's panicking over week one, especially the teams that's been doing this for a long time and the coaching staff. You just got to make adjustments. You got to get back to work, put your head down. And as a player, I can tell you, coming off a loss like that, I couldn't wait. If I could go out and play in the parking lot an hour later, I would. You can't wait to get back on the field and get back to game times just so you can just get that nasty taste out of your mouth.
Willie, you played linebacker. The biggest question we have for the Patriots right now is their pass rush. What does a good pass rush do for you in the second level at the linebacker position and do for the defensive backs also? How vital is it?
Well, it gives the secondary a cushion. They can gamble a little bit more if they know the ball has to come out at a certain time. The quarterback can't sit back there, pat the ball, and wait for receivers to get open. Some of those long, exotic routes are not able to develop because the pass rush is getting there. And 9 times out of 10, the quarterback is forcing situations or trying to get the ball out too quick, and he makes mistakes. You know, and they will figure it out. If they don't have one or two guys getting that much pass rush, Matt Patricia has done a great job at making adjustments and bringing linebackers or bringing safety. They're not going to sit back and let any team pick them apart. They'll figure that part out.
Willie, I want to go back in your career. You were on a team that went to the Super Bowl under Bill Parcells in the mid-90s with New England. What were the differences between a Belichick-led New England team and a Parcells-led team?
Wow, that's tough because they come from the same coaching tree. I think there's a lot, a big difference as far as now from back then. I mean, I had Parcells in the 90s. The game has changed so much. So I think your coaching has to change. The philosophy stay in place, but the player is different. So you have to coach the player a little bit different. The game has changed where it was a little more physical to the point where you practice different. Teams went out and ran the ball and did things different. So the personnel groups and the type of player that you were playing, game planning for has totally changed. So if you were successful in the 90s and you're still successful 2 decades later, I think that says a lot about a coach's mind and how great a coach is. And Parcells is a great coach. He's in the Hall of Fame. Of course, that says it all. But Bill Belichick has taken the game to another level just because he's lasted so long in a game that's changed so much.
Willie, that Super Bowl team in the 90s, they lost to the Green Bay Packers. So because you had that experience of losing a Super Bowl, how much more meaningful even was the run you guys went on in the early 2000s where you ended up with 3?
There's nothing good about losing a Super Bowl. I'm just going to start off by saying that. That's the worst feeling in the world. But what it does for you as a player prepares you for the logistics of the game, how you get ready for the game, how things happen, how the times as far as halftime and going out and preparing for the game, not getting caught up with the actual Super Bowl and all the events that surround that, far as family tickets, the parties, the media requests, all those different things that happen. It prepares you to just focus and hone in on the game And I think that's the biggest lesson I learned from playing in 96 versus playing in 2001 and beyond.
Willie, when you see, let's be honest now. We're 17 years after the fact. When you see Drew Bledsoe get hurt and Tom Brady comes in, what are you really thinking at the time?
You know what, man? That happened. That was so crazy how that happened and how those events transpired. But what I can say is Drew Bledsoe is one of the most professional guys, and the way he handled that was a huge part of why we won. He mentored, he helped, he was a great teammate, and it was terrible. It sucked that he couldn't be out there. I know how much he wanted to be out there, and he was on that 96 team, so he wanted revenge, and he wanted to go out and win a Super Bowl as well. But things happen for a reason. When I go back and rewind the clock in history, hell no. I mean, I got three Super Bowls, and the way it happened is the way it happened, and that was the birth of Tom and the success we're seeing now. But Drew Bledsoe, man, I have so much respect for him, how he handled everything, how he helped us. A lot of people don't know how much he helped us win. In 2001. He was a big part of our success.
Willie, we'll get you out of here on this. A tumultuous time in the country right now. We focus a lot of our NFL Sundays on who's standing for the anthem, who's protesting the flag and all that. But you were on the field right after 9/11, and Joe Andreuzzi, one of your teammates, you know, national notoriety for his brothers that were servicemen. What was it like at that time to see the flag be such a unifying thing as opposed to being divisive as it is now at times?
I think the flag is still unifying. I think people just use the platform to get a point across. And because of players, football being our platform, and that moment being the platform, I think players understand that and they want to get messages out. But the message is love. The message is peace. The message is togetherness and unity. It's not something that's separating. And I'm proud that players now are explaining what's going on so the fans and people really understand it. And back then when we saw Joe Andreuzzi run out with the flag and what our country was going through, it's a big reason why we had success as a team, because it brought us closer as a team. When we were introduced, we never came out individually because we thought our nation was together as one, so we did everything together. And we wasn't just playing for us. We were playing for all those families. We were playing for all those people in service who were going out risking their lives to preserve life. So, that's very emotional. It's very personal. And, it was something that created the Patriot way, togetherness, and family for us.
Willie McGinnis is one of the best to ever do it for the Patriots, a three-time Super Bowl champion. You can hear him on NBC Sports Radio. You can see him on NFL Network game day coverage. Willie, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again.
My pleasure.
Oh, there you go. Good job. I love hearing from former Patriots. Actually, I love hearing from former players back in my day. Yeah, I bet you a lot of our listeners like to hear. I know we have a lot of young listeners, but I do like hearing a lot of them.
No, it's great. And, you know, we focus so much on the Patriots organization that's won so much. We focus a lot on the Tom Brady era with the three Super Bowls, but remember Willie McGinnis was part of that team back in 96 that lost to the Packers, and it's interesting to hear just how sweet it was for a guy who was a part of that team to be a part of the teams that won, you know, the Ty Laws of the world, the Drew Bledsoes of the world, the Curtis Martins, those kind of guys.
We should get on Steve Grogan. And by the way, if there's anybody you want to hear, any old-time Patriot, what?
Yeah, you're just going to... Yeah, by the way, we want to hear from this guy.
Yeah, Brady will get him on. Yeah. Just on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. Anybody you want on, Brady will get him on. Any former Patriot, no problem.
The guest list, yes. I think... I like to take pride in trying to just keep getting more and more and more. Yeah. And then you go and throw out something like that.
Get Grogan on. What's wrong with Grogan?
Do you know who's coming on the show tomorrow?
I hear he's a curmudgeon. No, who's coming on?
We got Buster Olney. We got Field Yates.
Yes.
And we got Joe Nathan, number 8 all-time in saves in the MLB.
The former Minnesota Twin.
Yes.
Texas Ranger.
Yes.
Anything else?
He was with the Cubs and Nationals organizations. Okay. But mainly the Rangers and Twins.
I got two of that. Anybody you want, Brady, we'll get him on. That's for sure. We'll come back. Last story standing as we finish out the hour right here at 101.3 ESPN.
time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
You didn't leave me enough time, so I'll just tell you this. Tony Romo's calling the Saints game against the Patriots, so that should be interesting to hear. And also, James White gave away his MVP truck, the one that he didn't get, but Conan gave it to him. Is it Conan that gave it? Yeah, it was Conan that gave it to him, right?
Okay.
They gave him a truck. Well, he gave that away, too, because these guys have so many cars they don't know what to do with. I was going to give you the top 10 drinking cities, but...
is Burlington number one?
No.
Then I don't care.
Seven of the top 10 are all in Wisconsin.
It's wherever Rich is.
There you go.
Wherever Rich is.
There you go. Yeah, so quick show today. Good job in getting William McGinnis. Love talking to the former Patriots. What's coming up on Champlain Valley game night?
We'll talk more about the Pats heading into week two. Get you info on a feud that may... be coming to an end.
And who was our intern today? You always let him go early.
Well, we had intern. Man, we had everybody. We had intern Julia.
You forgot his name.
No, we had intern Julia.
Yeah.
And Devin. Then we had intern Logan.
No, intern Devin was yesterday.
Intern Julia was today, as was intern Logan.
I didn't mean intern Julia. You never even introduced me to intern Julia.
Because she's done before you get here.
Unbelievable. For Jason, for Brady, I'm Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.